भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं
सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयः वीरे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैतिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So we are reading, we'll start text number 17. So last week we discussed the lessons from Python and the lessons from after Python, ocean, and then after ocean,
bee,
two kinds of bees. What are the names of the two kinds of
bees?
Brahmar and Makshika. And then we learnt lessons from
hunter, deer
will come today.
Ocean,
and also from the bee, there are two other lessons, how the bee is very greedy to accumulate the honey, but then the hunter actually comes and takes away the money. And then we also discussed that how, just like a hunter comes and takes away the honey, is collected by the honeybee. Similarly, the sannyasis, they are actually allowed to actually enjoy the opulence of the householders who actually collected it. Saintly mendicants such as brahmacharis and sannyasis are entitled to enjoy the property accumulated by the householders dedicated to family enjoyment. So we discussed that also.
When the hunter takes away something, there is no benefit, everything is lost. Once every person comes in the family member's house, so they get benefit. The association gives them the goal of life, the knowledge.
Yeah. First example. It is actually first example is told to actually that a person does not become greedy, because anyway whatever you accumulate will neither be able to enjoy nor it will be taken away somebody. Prabhupada says that it will be taken away the government by in the form of tax or some thieves. The second example it actually gives benefit to the people. So 17th verse. ग्राम्यगीतं न शृणुयात् यतिर्वनचर क्वचित् शिक्षेत हरिनाद् बद्धान् मृगयोर्गीतमोहितात्.
Saintly person dwelling in the forest in the renounced order of life should never listen to songs or music promoting material enjoyment. Rather, a saintly person should carefully study the example of the deer, who is bewildered by the sweet music of the hunter's horn and is thus captured and killed.
So, 17th and 18th verse talk about the lesson which the Avadhut Brahmana has learned from deer. So, deer, in order to capture a deer, hunter actually plays a very nice music. And then the deer becomes absorbed in actually hearing that music, and then the hunter actually comes and captures the deer. So similarly, says that how a saintly person, as I mentioned last week also, that when I say saintly person, it doesn't refer to, it's a lesson for everyone. It's not that it's meant for somebody who is staying in a monastery or ashram or something. So it's basically the lesson about hearing materialistic sound vibration, or when we become absorbed in hearing materialistic sound vibration, that will actually lead to further entanglement. That will lead to all kinds of entanglement. If one becomes attached to sense gratification of materialistic music and songs, one will develop all the features of material entanglement. So materialistic sound vibration, it can refer to different things. It can refer to maybe Hollywood songs, Bollywood movies, can refer to newspapers, can refer to cricket matches, any of this. So basically the point is that some could may appear harmless in the beginning, but it can carry away later. Some may be very harmful right from the beginning. So, because like especially if you see, sound vibration is something, sound vibration, because of sound we actually come to the material world, and the same sound can actually deliver a person from the material world to the spiritual world. The third canto, Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport. When Kapila Dev is teaching Sankhya Yoga to Devahuti, Kapila Dev is explaining how the actually creation started. He says that when egoism in ignorance is agitated by the sex energy of the Supreme Personality of God at the subtle element, sound is manifested. And from sound came the ethereal sky and the sense of hearing. So Prabhupada explained, the first thing which was produced was sound, which is the subtle form of ether. Sound is the origin of all objects of material possession, and that by sound one can also dissolve this material existence. Sound was the origin of material all objects of material possession, and the same sound can actually liberate a person. So therefore, this Vedanta Sutra, this famous aphorism, Anavritti Shabdat. Anavritti Shabdat means liberation by sound. The entire material manifestation began from sound, and sound can also end material entanglement if it has a particular potency. And the particular sound capable of doing is this, is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So then he says that if we approach that sound, then our spiritual life begins and the other requirements for spiritual advancement can be supplied. So he explains that in this world, like all the ingredients for, suppose a building has to be made, all the ingredients for making a building, they are already there. Earth, water, fire, etc. Different, all these are there. And by hearing about how to make a building, then we actually make the building. In that way he says that even to actually get some material knowledge in order to do some creation on the material platform also, it all happened by oral reception. So similarly, he says that one must give oral reception to any knowledge one wants to receive, either material or spiritual. If you want to build a very high skyscraper, it does not mean that we have to create it. The materials are already there. We just make our intimate relationship with those already created material elements by hearing how to utilize them. In that sense, like hearing is actually the most important. The same principle applies to the spiritual platform. In the 18th verse, the Avadhut Brahmana gives an example of a person who, because of attraction to material sound, he fell down from his position. This is an example of Rishaya Shringa. This comes in Ramayana especially. So this the story is that Rishaya Shringa was a son of the sage called as Mrigi. So this sage actually brought up Rishaya Shringa without exposing him to actually any female association. It was like in a, growing in the forest, the jungle, and but in the nearby there was a kingdom, the kingdom of whose kingdom? Anybody know? Ramapad Maharaj. So there was actually severe drought there, and the sages advised him that the drought in this kingdom will be eradicated only when the sage Rishaya Shringa actually puts his feet in your kingdom, because his purity, then rainfall will happen. So then the king actually sent his daughter along with her different companions in order to actually captivate Rishaya Shringa. So they went to the forest and then they started singing beautiful songs, sweet songs, and then they were actually dancing and they started entertaining. And Rishaya Shringa got attracted to the songs and the dances of this, of these girls, and then he became captivated, and then he actually came to the, along with them he came to the kingdom, and then in this way he fell down. So it's explained that even Shringa also means Rishesh, the name Rishesh Shringa indicates the young sage was born with a deer like horn growing out of his forehead. If, like the deer, a rishi becomes attracted to sweet musical sounds promising sense gratification, because all the materialistic sounds, they promise sense gratification. And Prabhupada talked about newspapers. Does anybody know like what Prabhupada said about newspaper or Time magazine? There are 2-3 quotes, but I remember one. He said, newspapers newspapers make a person feel that this material world is a nice place. But the magazines, newspaper, well, they also give different kinds of news about the killings, etc. But then, it's all presented in such a way that you feel that material world is a very nice place. Like nowadays, sometimes when I happen to see newspaper, the first page itself, the whole first page is dedicated to sometimes for advertisement, and the cover page, and sometimes very bad pictures are put. So newspapers, they give a feeling that this material world is a nice place. Prabhupada also said, does anybody remember what Prabhupada said about Time magazine? I read the quote. I'll tell next time. So in that way, they actually, these material sound vibration, they actually give a promise of sense gratification. So then when a sage becomes attracted like a deer, then he becomes vanquished. So a thoughtful person should humbly take instruction from the deer who is doomed by attraction to musical sense gratification. Even there is a Prabhupada pastime. One devotee asked Prabhupada about some classical music, some sitar or something, Ravi Shankar. Sir, what about this music? It's like, why not hear this? So Prabhupada said, that is also Maya. Because it's not playing for the pleasure of Krishna. So that is also, in one sense, on the absolute platform, it is Maya. So sometimes a devotee, in order to avoid a very horrible form of Maya, a person may indulge in acceptable form of Maya. But ultimately one has to give up even that. we are not in a pure devotional platform, we don't have a taste for devotional service. Like sometimes a person has a strong inclination to do something. So instead of going and watching some movies, sometimes a devotee, at least instead of accepting some horrible form of Maya, a devotee may accept may focus on some acceptable form of Maya. It's not something to judge. To justify our this one, well, at least I'm not doing something wrong. At least instead of hearing some horrible form of Maya, maybe you can hear some light music or something. But ultimately, we have to give up even that also, because anything which is done, which is any sound vibration which is actually performed not for the pleasure of Krishna, that is also from absolute platform, it is also Maya. One has to actually come out of that also.
I think in Bhagavatam only that analogy is given, that ears that do not hear glorification of, they are like snake holes.
Second canto, third chapter, series of verses. Those ears which do not give oral reception to Supreme Lord, they are like holes, snake holes. So 19th verse. Now in the 19th, 19th, 20th and 21st, these three verses talk about the lesson from a fish. So these three verses, Avadhut Brahmana gives lesson how one should be careful about sense gratification through tongue. Jikvayati pramatinya. जनो रस विमोहितः मृत्युं रुच्यत असद्बुद्धिर् मीनस्तु बडि शैर्यता.
Just as a fish indicated by the desire to enjoy his tongue is fatally trapped on the fisherman's hook, similarly a foolish person is bewildered by the extremely disturbed urges of the tongue and is thus ruined.
So jihvaya ati pramatinya means extremely disturbing. Whenever the word ati is added as a prefix, then the meaning is enhanced. So when a person becomes like bewildered by the extremely disturbing urges of the tongue, so such a person, asad mrityum richati asat buddhir, such a person, he loses his intelligence, he actually simply meets with death. The fish, a fisherman actually puts a nice, some meat, a nice attractive foodstuff on a hook, and then he attracts the fish. The fish, because of its greediness to enjoy, to gratify its tongue, it actually gets caught in the fisherman's hook. So, Hridayananda Maharaj talks 2 points in the purport. First, he talks about the slaughterhouses. People actually slaughter animals, innocent animals. They slaughter innocent animals just to gratify their tongue. And then he says that even in the case of vegetarian foodstuffs, or even in the case of prasadam, one may eat too sumptuously, and then the artificially stuffed belly will create pressure on the sexual organs. Thus, one will fall down into the lower modes of nature and commit sinful activities that lead to the death of one's spiritual life. So, therefore, from the fish, one should learn this carefully, the dangers involved in gratifying the tongue. So, that's why Prabhupada explains the nectar of instruction, that one should control the tongue by supplying prasadam at scheduled times. So even in the case of prasadam, we have to be careful about what prasadam to eat, like at what time and cooked by whom. Prasadam is transcendental, but still we are not transcendental. We have to be aware of that. Even though it is prasadam offered to Krishna, if it is cooked by some person with wrong consciousness, if it is non-devotees or something, it can affect us. So one has to be like as careful as possible. So next verse. Indriyani jayantyashu
niraharamanishinaha
varjayitvatu
rasanam
tannirannasya vardate.
A person learned man clearly bring all of the senses except tongue under control, because by abstaining from eating such men are afflicted with an increased desire to gratify the sense of taste.
So here he says that when a person is fasting, he brings all the senses under control except the tongue. Because when a person is fasting, he becomes further greedy to actually gratify the tongue. So therefore, what is the solution? How to actually control the tongue? So one has to honor the prasadam offered to the Lord. That also, as I mentioned, are scheduled times. And one has to control the tongue by chanting the holy names, by speaking about the glories of the Lord. So this is actually very important. In South America, there is a saying that when the belly is full, the heart is content. So when a person is actually, when his stomach is full, usually a person is in a jolly mood. Many times when the stomach is not full, then a person is in a morose condition. So then he says that it's a very beautiful purport, that the nature of the tongue is that tongue wants to taste different varieties of flavors. What is the verse which we sing every day morning? Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavat Prasadu Swadanna Triptu Hari Bhakta Sangha. So basically, there are different varieties of flavors which the tongue wants to actually taste. So he says that this tendency for the tongue to taste different varieties of flavors, this can be fulfilled when a living entity actually experiences the rasa with the Supreme Lord. So there are 12 rasas which a living entity enjoys in relationship with the Supreme Lord. The 5 are primary rasas: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. And the 7 are secondary rasas. When a person experiences these 12 rasas with the Supreme Lord, then the tongue's desire to gratify different flavors, that gets actually eradicated, that gets actually fulfilled. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that by wandering in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, all these 12 flavors, these 12 rasas can be experienced. One should wander in the 12 forests of Vrindavan. By that one can re-spiritualize the 12 flavors of personal existence. So therefore he says, one should not artificially give up, one should not artificially give up sense gratification, especially that of the tongue. Like artificially fasting, the sense is saying. Then the attempt will be a failure, and in fact one's desire for sense gratification will increase as a result of artificial deprivation. So therefore one has to control the tongue with a positive mood. Of course, fasting in Ekadashi is not artificial thing, it is something natural. Because we are supposed to fast. We should not think that, oh, I don't want to fast on Ekadashi, I don't want to be artificial. So that, I'm saying that artificially fasting, like sometimes person tries to go beyond the capacity, fasting so much that he is not able to do anything, he just sleeping all the day. Instead of that, eat something so that you can actually do your sadhana. So there has to be, in one sense, some control on Ekadashi. You don't expect like to observe Nirjal Ekadashi, all the Ekadashi. But there has to be some this thing. Especially like when that Radhika Ata issue happened few months back. So we are discussing that actually in one sense there was some group of devotees that said, immediately sue them for me, sue those people who are responsible for this fraud, who actually without checking they started circulating. But if you see, yeah, definitely whoever has committed the mistake, they have to be taken action from an institutional point of view. But if you see from another point of view, in one sense, because like we want to enjoy pizzas and samosas and cakes and Ekadashi, if you see from one point of view, it is also sinful, because Ekadashi means essentially what? Fasting day. Because ISKCON devotees are sometimes so expert that they convert a fasting day into feasting day. Traditionally, if you see, Ekadashi Ata means it cannot actually, you cannot hold the Ekadashi Ata. Ekadashi day. But somehow, sometimes, the name of like sometimes devotees, they want how we can still feast at the same time be observing Ekadashi, how we still can eat the same. Then because we try to, whenever we try to like make an altercation, whenever we try to change the system given by Krishna, there will be some repercussion. So when something is supposed to be a fasting day and we try to convert into a feasting day, as I mentioned, I don't expect that like fasting day means okay, Kali Yuga, we don't have capacity to perform Nirjal Ekadashi. But at least in the sense, some reduction and some kind of this. Say fruits or
change of diet.
Fruits or juices or something. But if you want to, I want to continue to eat pizza, or I want to continue to eat samosa or something. But on Ekadashi, of course, I'm not saying that you all want to eat or something. But if you see from one point of view, overall, if you see that, at least some cases there is some tendency is there. So then when we try to change the Krishna system, then that there will be some reaction. So from that point of view, if you see that we are actually responsible for that. When people want to get cheated, so there will be cheaters.
So what is for example, see, because of so many things, we decided, okay, on Ekadashi we'll have only food sandwich. But when we went on yatra, the Gidari temple day, on Vaikuntha Ekadashi, normally we are very strict on Vaikuntha because in South it is very strict. But on Vaikuntha Ekadashi, boiled olive they served along with mutton. Peace was there. After eating, devotees found out, the mutton was there. Those people, they didn't have. So, a mistake happened. And normal prasadam also, medu vada, onion
vada. So basically, in the sense, like sometimes unknowingly it happens.
But
like
what,
better we be careful next time, in the sense, and then we at least have the ponder energy like other ship.
But
at least from the point of view, knowing, like some mistakes happen unknowingly.
For that, what atonement we have to do? That's what I'm asking. See, mistakes happen. So, what is
the
atonement we have to do for that mistake, unknowingly committed mistake?
Actually, ideally speaking, if the Ekadashi is broken, the next day one should observe Ekadashi. And another, at least we observe the Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi. But basically, the point is that there is the next verse, is a famous verse that is Krishna says that. Like if a person says that I have controlled all the senses but except tongue, then that such a person is actually is not said to have controlled any senses. On the other hand, if a person has controlled the tongue, even if he has not controlled the other senses, he is actually said to be fully controlled. So we have to be, it is not that I am speaking because I have controlled the tongue or something. So I am really completely fasting on Ekadashi. But it is just to actually just to make us aware, to remind myself also. So in that sense, tongue is actually, because tongue, by eating we supply energy to all the senses. So when the tongue is uncontrolled, it can make all the senses also go out of control. So when the tongue is actually controlled properly, scheduled this one, then it can easily lead to control of all the other things, all the other senses. So if you read the purport in the 6th canto, 1st chapter, I think 14th, 15th verse or something. Tapasa brahmacharyena shramena cha damena cha tyagena satya shauchabhyam yamena niyamena va. So Shrukadeva Goswami is explaining the different practices which a person follows in the path of Jnanakanda. Tapasa, austerity, brahmacharyana, celibacy, shramena cha damena cha, control of the mind, control of the senses, etc., charity, speaking truth. So in that purport, Prabhupada says that all these principles can be followed, he says, with respect to men, if a person simply observes celibacy or brahmachari. So he says that there are so many list of principles are given, and he is boiling down all the principles to just one principle of celibacy. And then he says, but celibacy can be practiced when a person simply controls the tongue, and tongue can be controlled if a person sticks to the point of eating only prasadam, and if a person becomes attached to chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So we see that with that famous verse, Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukehi Jihva Adav Swayam Eva Swaratyada. So when a person, the name, form, pastimes of the Supreme Lord cannot be perceived with one's material senses, but if a person has service attitude and especially Jihva Adav, service started with all the senses, but why not actually start with maybe Karna Adav or some other hand all the senses are indicated, but then especially jihva is used, because that is actually nonsense, the most important. So, next verse. The next verse is a very important verse. You should try to memorize this verse. Tavat jitendriyo nasyat.
Tavat jitendriyo nasyat.
Vijitanyendriyapuman.
Vijitanyendriyapuman.
Najayet rasanam yavad.
Najayet rasanam yavad.
Jitam sarvam jite rase.
Jitam sarvam jite rase.
Although one may conquer all the other senses, as long as the tongue is not conquered, it cannot be said that one has controlled the senses. However, if one is able to control the tongue, then one is understood to be in full control of all the senses.
So here it is explained that, Khadayan Maharaj explains that the tongue, however, becomes greedy to taste delicious preparations. And when finally indulges the tongue, all other senses quickly go out of control. So Vishnu Chakotako says that one should accept Mahaprasadam in moderate proportion. And he especially talks about the point of higher taste. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. So a person, sometimes when a person who is sick, he may not actually indulge in any sense gratification, he may automatically become regulated, he may not do anything. But although he is not engaging in sense gratification, but the desire for sense gratification has not gone. But how can a person become freed from even from the desire for sense gratification? So Krishna says, param drishtva nivartate. Param drishtva means like when a person develops a higher taste, Vishnu Chakotaka means like says that when a person comes in contact with the Supreme Lord, when a person realizes the Super Soul, the Atma, the higher taste, then a person can actually give up the lower taste. So then he explains in the purport, actually, even in the beginning stage of sadhana bhakti, it is so powerful that it brings one to the platform of anartha nivritti, where one becomes free from unwanted sinful habits and gains relief from the pressure of the tongue, belly and genitals. So at least we can actually chant this prasadam prayer. Because many times it becomes mechanical, at least if we try to chant this prasadam prayer consciously, meditating on the meaning of the prasadam prayer. So we'll just try to read the meaning of the prasadam prayer. It's actually so profound. Can somebody read the meaning of the prasadam prayer? Which is,
oh Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance and the senses are a network of paths to death. Somehow we have fallen into the ocean of material sense enjoyment. And of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. It is very difficult to control the tongue in this world. But you, dear Krishna, are very kind to us and have given us such nice prasadam just to control the tongue. Now we take this prasadam to our full satisfaction and glorify their lordship, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, and in love call for the help of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda.
So, like that. So this body is a lump of ignorance, the senses are the network of paths to death. I also read some prasadam prayer. Because the urgency of taking prasadam, I swallow some of the prasadam prayer only. So at least we can consciously chant this prasadam prayer and honor, actually come to the point of honoring prasadam on one day. So prasadam, if you read that in the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada gives very nice purports with respect to Jihva Vegam, Udra Vegam, and he talks about Atyahara also. He says that even one should not even offer palatable dishes to the deity with the intention of eating such nice food. So he talks about the food and mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, and the food and mahatamogun, the sense pan, cigarettes or other like that, all those things he says. But even he doesn't leave there, he also comes, even he actually talks about prasadam also. He says, don't offer palatable dishes to the deity with the intention of eating such nice food. It's not condemning about offering palatable dishes to the deity. But, so in the sense, we have to, at every point, in a sense, like initially, we connect with Krishna by some way or other. Yena kena prakarena mana Krishna nishave. But that is an initial stage, but at a certain point we also have to come close to the stage of anyabhilashita shunyam. So if it is for somebody, if it is too disturbing, instead of eating some abominable this thing, better you offer opulent foodstuffs to Krishna and the needed. And then ultimately we even come to even higher step. Prabhupada says that the urge to accept invitation of a rich man with the idea of receiving palatable food, so that is also wrong. Especially for the temple brahmacharis and devotees. And then he says, when we desire to overeat, we automatically create many inconveniences in life. And Prabhupada gives a solution as, if we observe fasting days like Ekadashi and Janmashtami, we can restrain the demands of the belly. And then of course the purpose of fasting is ultimately to remember Krishna, to increase our remembrance of Krishna. King Kulashekar says that, Amnai Abhyasanan Aranya Ruditam Veda Vratani Anvakam Meda Cheda Palani Purta Vidaya Sarvam Hutam Basmani Tirtanam Anvagahananicha Gajasnanam Vina Yatpada Dvandvom Boruga Samsrute Devasa Narayan. Says that without remembrance of Krishna, simply chanting of the Vedic mantras is like a crying in the wilderness of the forest. And without remembrance of Krishna, performing vratas and austerities is simply exercise for losing fat. Meda cheda falani purta vidaya. And without remembrance of Krishna, going to holy places and taking baths in the holy place, holy river, it's like elephant's bath. And without remembrance of Krishna, performing different fire sacrifices like offering ghee into the ashes. So that is a... So okay. And even when we have to like Prabhupada, like the speciality of Prabhupada with the previous acharyas is that the previous acharyas, they simply gave the philosophy, they wrote books. But there was no need for them to give the culture because the culture was very much intact at that time. But Prabhupada not only gave the philosophy, but he also gave the culture in the form of singing, music and prasadam. The Prabhupada said, I will be known for one who introduced puris in the United States of America. I will be known for one who introduced samosas. So, like that, so Prabhupada gave the culture also. So, that culture, Prabhupada gave that bridge of culture in order for us to accept the philosophy. Because it's difficult to accept the philosophy, so Prabhupada gave the bridge of culture so that we can accept the philosophy. Prabhupada also mentioned that one should actually present Krishna consciousness as a cultural movement. Like, when it has people, they are not attracted to philosophy, but if we present the culture of Krishna consciousness, it's like Indradhanu Maharaj conducts this festival of India, different places, that people are more interested in that. So, but the other, so Prabhupada gave this bridge of culture, but the side effect of that is that the culture of the other countries, they are also coming to us. Chowmin prasadam. So that is actually, Prabhupada gave this bridge in order so that we can accept the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But this, from the same bridge, like things from other countries, it also comes in. So one has to actually see, even in the case of prasadam, which will actually help us to remember Krishna better. Even in the cultural items. If somebody from the West, like rock kirtan means, it may be like very inspiring for him actually. He will get very inspired, he may be able to remember Krishna better. But when we hear rock kirtan, then we will be reminded of some Bollywood or some, we may not get such an intense remembrance of Krishna. Well, long back, one devotee was hearing something and then I showed that song actually. It was actually Cheto Darpana Marjanam, but it was actually sung in such a the rock kirtan with so much of music. I felt it is no way close to the mood of actually what is that Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Aslishya Papada. So in that sense, one has to, even in actually, although even in Krishna consciousness, we have to accept those things, those cultural items of Krishna consciousness which will help us to remember Krishna, enhance our remembrance of Krishna. So there is a Greek proverb which says that the 1/3 of what you eat maintains you, and balance two-third maintains your physician. So essence like it's about the warning about overeating. So we'll go to the even if you see in the description of the in the Puranjan story in the 4th canto, when Narada Muni describes the city of 9 gates. The city of 9 gates refers to the human body which has got 9 gates. And then the 9 gates are the different 9 holes in the body, the nose, ears, tongue, genital, rectum, etc. So, but he says, when he talks about the tongue, he says this is the chief among all the gates. He uses the word mukhyo nama, this is the chief among all the gates. In the case of other gates, a living entity goes through those other gates to one destination. It means to enjoy one sense object. And he says in the case of this particular gate of the tongue, a person goes to enjoy 2 sense objects, vibration and tasting. And he says out of all the gates, this is the chief among all the gates. So in that sense, always it is tongue is explained. So this verse is something which is very important. We'll recite this once more together. Tavat jitendriyo nasyat vijitan yendriya puman na jayet rasanam javet jitam sarvam jiterase. So now we'll go to the next. This Mahaprasada prayer. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmane Vaishnave Svalpa Punya Vritam Rajan Vishwasur Naiva Jayate. So this is a verse from Garuda Puran. This is a verse from Garuda Puran. This actually talks about the 3 agents by which we can break karma. Mahaprasad, the holy name, Mahaprasade Govinde, Nama Brahmane Vaishnavi. The 3rd is the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord. These are the 3 agents by which we can break karma. So when we associate with these 3 items, we can develop faith in them to counteract the material enjoyment. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmane Vaishnave Svalpa Punya Vratam Rajan Vishwasur Naiva Jayate. Svalpa Punya Vratam Rajan Vishwasur Naiva Jayate. What is the exact meaning? Swalpa Punya means something very little piety. Vishwaso, faith. It means like when a person, unless a person has some piety, he cannot actually come in contact with his three items. Or in another way, like when you come in contact with his three items, some or other, by which we can actually develop faith. So the three agents, even if a person comes in contact with them unknowingly with these three agents which by which we can break karma, Mahaprasad, holy name and the Vaishnavas. By these three agents we can develop faith in faith to counteract the material enjoyment, the enjoyment propensity. So Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was telling a story that in Russia actually they don't use spices. Russia, Ukraine and all some devotees are, even sometimes we wonder like how they eat such bland prasadam, especially some Ukraine devotees, they make a separate prasadam for them. Usually we have spicy and non-spicy prasadam in the temple, but for Ukraine devotees they make special kind of non-spicy, absolutely no spice. So usually they don't use spices there. So when they first time cooked prasadam, so because they had heard that the devotees that heard that prasadam must be cooked with spices. So they actually, but then according to them, the spices means using chili. That is the only spices they can actually think of. So they actually made a first time hot milk halwa with chilies. Because they felt that prasadam must be cooked with spices, and for them spices means chilies. They made a hot milk halwa with chilies. And there was one person, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj said, one person was very much addicted to smoking, and he came to that devotee's house where, like, for that program. And he was like completely uneasy with the satsang program because everything that happened was something strange to him. And then finally he took this halwa with chilies. And he didn't know about any idea of prasadam, etc. And then he just took a teaspoon of full halwa. And he started actually appreciating that halwa like anything. And after eating, and then he went back home. And then he was a chain smoker. He wanted to smoke, but he did not feel like smoking. And he came and asked the devotees that, like, what did you put in this halwa that I lost the interest to smoke? So Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj is telling this story to tell about effect of prasadam. So even there are many such famous stories that the talk show which Badrinarayan Prabhu tells, the name of the person, was on one very famous talk show in America. So that particular person was especially famous for asking awkward questions to the interviewers and putting them in such awkward condition that and they will feel like, why did I come to this talk show? So he would ask such kind of like awkward questions. So once the ISKCON devotee Badrinarayan Maharaj, he was invited. That time was the Badrinarayan Prabhu, he was invited for the talk show. So he went to the talk show, but he went with a huge tray of nice prasadam.
Cookies.
Yeah, cookies and different nice different prasadam items. And he went with that. And this actually person, I've heard, like Gaurang Prabhu told one time in the Prerna in great detail that this one. And people would be actually waiting for his talk show, like how he would ask awkward questions to ask people. But in this talk show, like different people would be calling, phoning also, and then he would ask different questions. But in this talk show, he was actually, other people were calling, like some other Christian people were calling and to ask different awkward questions to the ISKCON devotees, Yes, current devotee Badrinarayan Prabhu. But this person, he was speaking in a way to actually support the ISKCON devotee. And everyone was surprised, like, what happened to this man that would usually challenge the interviewer, but he is actually, he's speaking in a way that is supporting him. So because this person, in his childhood, he was taking prasadam, would always take that food for life prasadam of the ISKCON devotees. And he said, my mother had taught me never go against the person who was actually fed you. And in that jiska namak apne kaya unke upar gussa mat dikhana. So, and also this Badrinarayan Prabhu brought such nice prasadam. He was actually eating those rice prasadam also. And then, so in the sense, he was completely transformed. So there are so many stories of prasadam also. So anyway, we will go to the next story of Pingala, which is the most important story. The rest of the chapter is dedicated to the story of Pingala. So if you see, in the scriptures, most of the traditional literature, prostitutes are depicted in a negative manner. But sometimes religious textbooks, they depict prostitutes positively, in the sense that when the prostitutes become the recipient of divine grace, like how they became, when they received the grace of a devotee, how they became transformed, then in such occasion the prostitutes are depicted in a positive manner. Otherwise they are depicted in a negative manner. Like for example, in the Bible there is a story of Mary Magdalene, how she received the grace of Jesus and then she was transformed. And we have the story of Haridas Thakur transforming the prostitute Lakshahira. Such few depictions of prostitutes are there in the scriptures. But even so uncommon are when the prostitutes are made as the teachers of spiritual wisdom. That is even more uncommon. So one such example is Chintamani, how she became the guru of Billamangal Thakur, you know that story. But in the case of Chintamani, she just spoke just one line of spiritual wisdom. If you have the same determination for the service of Krishna, you would have attained perfection the way you are showing determination to me, to enjoy me. She just spoke one line of wisdom and she became the guru of Balamangal Thakur. But in this speciality of this particular story of prostitute is that here the Pingala is speaking a series of spiritual wisdom, 12 or 13 verses. So it's a very beautiful verses. So externally, if you see this particular event which is depicted, is a non-event. Actually nothing happened. From the story point of view, there is no event which happened. But it is basically how she actually developed a detachment and how she actually took to devotional service, her realizations. Nonsense. The story goes like this. This Pingala, she is a prostitute in the kingdom of Videha. And this Pingala, just like every day, she was looking for a customer to actually enjoy, to get money from that. She was actually looking for a customer. And she dressed herself very nicely in the evening and with the beautiful ornaments and scent, etc. And she was standing at the doorway of the house looking for some customer who will spend the night with her, from whom she can actually get some money. So actually, if you see, in this case, in this prostitute, she had a little romantic conception of her profession. It is not that she was looking for a customer just for money. She was not just wanting money, she was also looking for a lover. she was wanting some affection and pleasure from those people, not just money. So in that sense, she also had a romantic conception of her profession. Because like sometimes a prostitute, like Prabhupada, if we read in the first canto, Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka, in that purport, Prabhupada says that we do not even hate prostitutes if they are devotees of the Lord. Like sometimes a person in this world, because of certain helpless situation, he may have to adopt a particular profession. There is not any option for him. Yes, like Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they had to work under Nawab's Insha. There was no option for them, otherwise the whole Hindu community would have been tortured. But they never enjoyed working under Nawab's Insha. They always had a desire to dedicate themselves for the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, but in the case of this prostitute Pingala, she actually enjoyed working and she enjoyed that profession also. So, in that sense, she had a romantic conception of her profession. She was not just looking for money, she was looking for some lovers who will actually show some love, affection towards her. So when she was standing at the door, she was actually thinking, maybe this man will give some money, maybe this man will come today. And in this way, she was thinking about all men who were passing by, but now nobody was actually coming on that day. So it's explained that her only means of sustenance was prostitution, and therefore she anxiously thought, maybe this one who is coming now is very rich. Oh, he is not stopping. But I am sure someone else will come. Surely this man who is coming now will want to pay me for my love. And he will probably give lots of money. In this way, she was like vainly standing at the doorway, and then sometimes she would go inside the house. Nobody would come. Again, she would come out. And this way, she was going back and forth. In this way, the midnight hour gradually arrived. In that sense, the external event is non-event. Nothing happened. So, we see one thing we can see is that how this Avadhut Brahmana is taking lesson even from a prostitute. If somebody says, my guru stays in Kamatipura, like appear very peculiar. Maybe he has gone crazy or something like that. But the point, the lesson we can see is here is that how this Avadhut Brahmana is so focused actually is so, we have to appreciate, as we mentioned previously, how his learning disposition. He is so much in the mood of a student that he is taking lesson even from a prostitute. So this is the how we have to be focused on the essence. When a person is focused on the essence, then one can take lesson from any situation. Either how I should act or how I should not act. I should not be doing this. So, as Prabhupada mentions, that utility is the principle. Utility is the principle that this Avadhut Brahmana is actually he is actually learning even from a prostitute. So we'll recite the 27th verse. Tasya vittashaya shushya vaktraya dina chetasaha nirveda paramo jagye chinta hetu sukavaha.
As the night wore on, the prostitute who intensely desired money gradually became morose and her face dried up. Thus, being filled with anxiety for money and most disappointed, he began to feel a great detachment from her situation, and happiness arose in her mind.
If you see, that when she was actually looking for a customer, nobody was coming. So now she reaches, now a Eureka moment appeared in her life. Eureka moment in the sense that suddenly she develops a great realization and detachment in her life. It's like that Archimedes, that theorem, you know, that story of the Eureka moment. So here it's explained, Nirveda Paramo. Paramo means, Nirveda means detachment. A great detachment got awakened in her life. Chinta Hetu Sukavaha, and that great detachment, it produced happiness in her life. Sukha avahaha, it brought great happiness in her life. So actually the first mention of Pingala comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. The 10th canto, when the Uddhava comes to meet the Vrajavasis, and the gopis are actually in the Brahmaragit section, gopis are telling to Uddhava, Param Saukyam hi Nairashyam Swairin Apyaha Pingala Tad Janatinam Naha Krishne Tatap Asha Duratyaya. Gopis are saying, the greatest happiness is to renounce all desires. The concluding verse of this chapter, Asha hi Paramam Dukkam Nairashyam Sukham Uttamam. Yata Sanchidya Kantasham Sukham Suswapa Pingala. Material desire is undoubtedly the cause of the greatest unhappiness, and freedom from such desire is the cause of the greatest happiness. Basically, material desire is the cause of great unhappiness, freedom from desire is the cause of happiness. So gopis are actually remembering Pingala. Gopis are saying that the greatest happiness is to renounce all desires, just like the prostitute Pingala had declared. But even though we know this, we cannot give up our hopes of attaining Krishna. So they were feeling that their hope of attaining Krishna to be material desire. We want to actually give up that material desire in order to attain happiness. But then in our case, it is very difficult for anyone to give up hope concerning Krishna. And then they are feeling that actually in the case of Pingala, Pingala had material desires for men other than Krishna. So therefore, she could give up those desires and she achieved happiness. But in our case, we have desires for Krishna. So nobody can give up desires for Krishna. So then initially they remembered Pingala, just like let us also follow in the footsteps of Pingala and give up the material desire. And then they felt, but how can we give up? Pingala had given the desires for men other than Krishna, but we cannot give up desires for Krishna, because it is not possible for anybody to give up hope concerning Krishna. So in that way, the first instance of Pingala comes in the 10th canto. But here the story comes. So the 28th verse, Tasya nirvinna chittaya gitam shunuyata mama Nirveda Asha Pashanam Purushasya Yata Kyasihi.
The prostitute felt disgusted with her material situation and thus become indifferent to it. Indeed, detachment acts like a sword cutting to piece the binding network of material hopes and desires. Now please hear from me the song sung by the prostitute in that situation.
So, the prostitute developed a detachment which acts like a sword. Purushasya yata kyasihi. So, the Gita also the sword is compared to?
Knowledge.
Detachment or knowledge. What are the verses? Anybody know? Asanga. Narupa masyeha tatopalabhyate nantona chadir nacha sampratishta. Ashwatthamenam suvirudamulam asanga shastrena dridena chitva. Cut this banyan tree with this sword of detachment. And knowledge is also compared to the sword. Tasmad agyana sambhutam kritstam jnana அசினாத்மனக, கிருஷ்ணம் ஜானாசினாத்மனக, சித்வைனம் சம்சயம் யோகம் ஆதிஷ்டோ திஷ்ட பாரத, ஃபோர் சாப்டர் லாஸ்ட் வர்ஸ். கட் திஸ் இக்னரன்ஸ் அஜான சம்பூதம் வித் த வெப்பன் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ். அண்ட் த பாகவதம் த ஸ்வோர்ட் இஸ் கம்பேர்டு டு ரிமம்பரன்ஸ் ஆஃப் கிருஷ்ணா. யத் அனுத்யாசினா யுக்தம் கர்ம கிரந்தி நிபந்தனம் சிந்தந்தி கோவித சசிய கோண கொரியாத் கதாருது. ஸோ பேசிக்கலி த ஸ்வோர்ட் இஸ் கம்பேர்டு ரிமம்பரன்ஸ் அண்ட் டிட்டாச்மெண்ட் ரிமம்பரன்ஸ் ஆஃப் கிருஷ்ணா நாலேஜ். So then, just as a human being who is bereft of spiritual knowledge never desires to give up his false sense of proprietorship over many material things, similarly a person who has not developed detachment never desires to give up the bondage of a material body. So now from the 30th to 42nd verse, Pingala is speaking. So we'll recite the verses together. Pingala uvacha அகோமே மோக விததிம் பஷ்யதா விஜிதாத்மனஹ யா காந்தாத் அசத காமம் காமயே ஏன பாலிஷா. யா, you can read the translation.
The prostitute Pingala said, just see how greatly illusioned I am. Because I cannot control my mind, just like a fool I desire lusty pleasure from an insignificant man.
So from 38th to 34th verse, Pingala is repenting for her acts. So here she says that kamaye yena balisha, I am like a fool or a childish person. Krishna uses this word. Sankhya yoga prutak bala pravadanti na pandita ekam yap astita samyak ubayor vindate phalam. So here the child can be childlike, means a person is like having an innocent nature. Childish means like frivolous or one who does not know what is of real value. So Pingala is saying, I acted like a childish person. I was actually, because without having because of illusion I was uncontrolled, so I was looking for lusty pleasure from insignificant men. Ya kantad means she was looking for a lover. From whom? Asataka, from insignificant people. What was she looking for? Kamam. So here we see that when a person gets carried away by his mind, and when a person comes under the control of the external energy, sometimes a person does something undesirable for quite some time, and a person suddenly comes out of the stupor, and then he sees that he gets a shock, how far I had gone from the right path. For so long I was actually so much in illusion. So in that way Pingala, she is actually in that stage. She is saying, I was acting like a childish person because of uncontrolled senses. I was completely under control of illusion, and I was just looking for lusty pleasure from insignificant men. And then the next verse, she says that how she gave up the eternal internal for the insignificant external. The super soul is eternally present in one's heart. Within one's heart, internally. She is saying that how I gave up the eternal internal for the insignificant people of this external world. So, very beautiful verse. Santam samipe ramanam rati pradam vitta pradam nityamimam vihaya அகாமதம் துக்கபயாதி சோக மோக பிரதம் துச்சமஹம் பஜேன்ய.
I am such a fool that I have given up the service of that person who, being eternally situated within my heart, is actually most dear to me. The most dear one is the Lord of the universe, who is the bestower of real love and happiness.
and the source of all prosperity. Although he is in my own heart, I have completely neglected him. Instead, I have ignorantly served insignificant men who can never satisfy my real desires and who have simply brought me unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation and emotion.
So, usually when people get frustrated, when Pakistan lost the cricket match, they broke the TV sets, they burned the effigies of some men. So, but usually when a materialist gets frustrated, he thinks that, why didn't my enjoyment work out? But when a spiritualist, when he gets frustrated, he feels that, why did I try to enjoy? So Pingala is actually, she is thinking like, why did I actually try to get pleasure from insignificant men? So in the case of a materialist, because he is not aware of the spiritual pleasure, he is only thinking that, why didn't my enjoyment work out? But in the case of a sadhaka devotee who is trying to enjoy material sense gratification, when he becomes frustrated, because he is also aware of the spiritual pleasure, then when he comes to his senses, he feels that, why did I try to enjoy? So here, in this verse, Pingala is considering how all her other lovers are worthless. She is contrasting the external lovers with the Supreme Lord, who is actually the real lover which she should have sought after. So, here he is saying that Santam Samipe, the Supreme Lord is near to your living entity and dear to your living entity. In this world, somebody may be near to us, but he may not be dear to us. And somebody may be dear to us, but he may not be near to us. The Supreme Lord is near and dear to us. Ramanam Rati Pradam. The Supreme Lord actually awards happiness. Vitta Pradam, he awards prosperity. Vitta Pradam means he awards prosperity. Nityam Imam Vihaya, eternally. Eternally gives happiness and prosperity and eternally gives pleasure. But on the other hand, akamadam dukkha bayadi shoka. And the other people, she is considering the other insignificant people, they can only give some insignificant pleasure, tuchya. Here in the case of Supreme Lord, she is using the word nityam imam vihaya, who gives eternal pleasure. But the other men, they are actually giving insignificant pleasure, tucham. They are most insignificant. And what do they give? Baya adi shoka. They only give unhappiness, dukkha, baya, fear, lamentation, illusion, etc. So, in this way she is comparing what the Supreme Lord can give to a living entity and what the other people, insignificant men, can give.
Why Pingala only? Why she has been selected? Or is it just by accident?
Why she has been selected? Listen, she is like, when on this particular day, when she did not get any encounters, she is developing this deep renunciation.
Due to some previous.
So that is also explained. That comes in the purport later, that Vishnu Chakravarti explains that there is a sage Dattatreya who has arrived on that day, was actually staying close by. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that by the influence of the association of the saintly association of Dattatreya, she is actually developing this spiritual wisdom. So from that point of view, Vishnu Chakravarti says that because bhakti has to have some cause. Bhakti cannot be caused, bhakti has no cause other than itself. So in this case, he gives understanding that because of the association of Dattatreya, who was staying close by, she developed this. Like sometimes say suppose a person is he's wanting to, a devotee is going wanting to watch some movie or something. So he goes for a movie theater and then he's standing in the queue for say 3 hours, 4 hours, and then he finally doesn't get a ticket and he's frustrated and suddenly he sees his counselor coming or something like in the road, not the, for the movie, and then he's frustrated also and then he sees that what that devotee, some devotee, and then by that he says, by just by seeing the presence of the devotee he feels, oh, why did I come to watch this movie, and then there was a deep renunciation something like that. So there is a combination of frustration plus the association of Dattatreya. That is that sense of devotional service has some cause, but the point is, like, by hearing these words we can also understand the futility of material sense gratification by hearing her realization. So basically she is saying that Krishna is the most dear to a living entity. So there are many other verses how the material sense gratification, when you talk about material sense gratification ends, there are only three possibilities of material enjoyment. It is futile, insubstantial and temporary. A person wants to eat some malpuva, but then it was they are serving some rava laddu. Basically, he is aspiring for that, but then that it did not happen. Futile. Or so then he wants malpuva, but then malpuva was served, but the malpuva was actually tasting like some rubber. There was no sweet in that. There was no, hardly any. They forgot to put sugar, or it was tasting horribly. Was like he got what he wanted, but then it was very the enjoyment which he got was very insubstantial compared to what he expected. And third possibility is he got malpuva and was nicely made also, but then he wanted 3-4 malpuvas, only one was served, or the happiness remained only for some time. So in that sense, material sense enjoyment is either futile, we don't get the, most of the time we don't get the material sense gratification, or even if we get it, the happiness lasts for only for a very short time, or insubstantial, or happiness lasts for some time but ultimately it is taken away at the time of death. So here she is saying that I was trying to get pleasure from insignificant men, tuchya, neglecting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is most near and most dear to a person and who can award eternal happiness and prosperity. Just like suppose somebody was, say, having a salary of 10 lakh rupees per month, say, and he leaves that job and takes up a job with a salary of 200 rupees. Multiply this example by millions of times, that is what actually Pingala is speaking. That Supreme Lord was giving eternal happiness and pleasure, but I left him, but I was trying to look for happiness from insignificant men. So in that sense so we'll speak the next go to the next verse.
What is the third one? Futile, insubstantial
and temporary. Aho mayatma paritapito vrita sanketa vrityati vigarhya vartaya strainan naradyartha trishonu shochyat kritena vittam ratimatma nechati.
Aho, how I have uselessly tortured my own soul. I have sold my body to lusty, greedy men who are themselves object of pity. Thus, practicing the most honorable profession of prostitute, I hope to get money and sex pleasure.
So you see, in this verse she is saying that why we cannot get pleasures from people other than Krishna. Because the reason is that those people themselves are searching for pleasure. Aho mayatma paritapito vrita. Sanketya vrityati vigarhya vartaya. I was here. She is saying that I was actually engaged in this abominable profession. I had uselessly tortured my own soul. Paritapito. Aho maya atma paritapito. I was torturing my own soul. And strainan narad ya artha trisho anushochyat. I sold myself to shochyat. Shochyat means the pitiable people who are looking for lusty pleasure, strainan, and artha trisho. From greedy men. I have sold my body to lusty, greedy men who are themselves objects of pity, anushochyat. And in this way I was actually practicing this most abominable profession of prostitute. I hope to get money and sex pleasure. So you see that, like, unless a person has pleasure, how can he actually give pleasure? She is feeling that those people themselves were greedy and lusty and they themselves are not having pleasure. How can actually they give pleasure to others? So basically, see, every living entity, whether man or woman, both are hungry for pleasure, but both are devoid of pleasure. And in their imagination, they are thinking, oh, by relationship with this particular person, I will get pleasure. So man is seeing the form of a woman, he feels that, oh, by contact with this particular form, I will get pleasure. But the woman takes advantage of that attraction which a man has towards him, towards her, in order to get money. And she feels that, oh, by getting money from him, I will get pleasure. So it is only in their imagination they feel that, oh, I will get pleasure in coming in contact with him. When they actually come in contact, their imagination gets exposed. Initially, I was thinking, oh, I will get pleasure by them. But then when they actually come in contact, the imagination gets exposed. So, in this way, this Pingala is actually, she is coming to a realization. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Sanketya Vrityati means, especially technically means, she was actually... basically it refers to a profession of a prostitute, and she is saying that I was engaged in the most abominable profession. But the nature of Kali Yuga is that such professions are actually glorified. Nonsense. We see all the Bollywood actresses are, so it is like that only. Actually this is the same profession, but they are actually considered glorified. They are glorified by the newspapers and people are wanting such kind of this. But we can see the cultural, how the culture is also degraded.
Actually, in one of the classes, it was like, just as person who has pleasure can give pleasure. So one story, it was quoted that Prabhupada has Krishna, so he can give Krishna.
The Maharaj Kulishekar also says that, I am working
for such men
who are just lord of few villages.
What
can they
give us? So in the next verse, the 33rd verse, she analyzes the nature of material body. Because she was looking for pleasure from different people who have material bodies, so she is analyzing the nature of the material body. So it's like a very nice to contemplate on these verses.
Yad astibir nirmita vamsha vamsya stunam tvacharomana kaipinattam शरण्णवद्वारमगारमेतत् विन्मूत्रपूर्णं मधुपैतिकान्या.
This material body is like a house in which I, the soul, am living. The bones forming my spine, ribs, arms and legs are like the beams, cross beams and pillars of the house. And the whole structure which is full of soul and living is covered by skin, hair and eyes. The nine doors leading into this body are constantly excreting foul substances. Besides me, what woman could be so foolish as to devote herself to this material body, thinking that she might find pleasure and love in this contraption?
So this is a very important, beautiful verse, like how material body is compared to a body, like the different elements of the body are like the pillars, and the body is ultimately it is filled with stool and urine and blood and abominable substances. So she is feeling that who except me, mad upaiti kanya, accept this body full of stool and urine, which is like a house made of bones with nine doors oozing with filth, with the spine as the main beam and the bones of the hands and feet as the secondary beams, covered by skin, hair and nails. As the external appearance is nice, but then actually the internal substance is actually filled with pus and stool and urine and etc. So she is feeling how astonishing that I thought that this disgusting body was enjoyable for love making. The body is a house made of bones, the spine is the main beam and the bones of the hands and feet are its secondary beams. So who except me is dedicated to this body? So she is talking about the worthlessness of the material body. So she is in a very unflattering manner, she is actually exposing the reality of the material body. So all bodies, including the most beautiful ones, ooze out sweat, urine and stool, forcefully reminding us that the skin deep beauty doesn't always stay even that deep. The illusoriness of the bodily beauty becomes apparent periodically even at the level of the skin. Next verse. Videhanam purehyasmin aham ekaiva mudadi yanyam ichyant asasyasmat atmadat kama machyutat.
Certain in this city of Videh, I alone am completely bliss. I neglected the Supreme Personal Godhead who awards us everything, even our original spiritual form. And instead, I desire to enjoy sense gratification with many men.
So, we see, of course, theoretically we may know, have this knowledge. But sometimes when a person gets a temptation, we don't feel like taking shelter of the Lord, because Maya is so powerful that Maya gives a different appearance. Like suppose there are two warriors who are fighting in the battlefield with a sword. Then suddenly one warrior changes his form to a beautiful woman. So then this warrior, instead of fighting with the sword, he goes to actually embrace that form. And suddenly that form actually takes out the sword and kills. So in that sense, at least we can actually meditate on these verses. Of course, it's not the point is that how the material body cannot give pleasure. So the pleasure is actually in him. So the next verse, Pingala is saying that she has analyzed the nature of the material body, and then she is saying that I gave up the association of the Supreme Lord, who was actually willing to give spiritual opulences, who was willing to give himself. Yanyam ichyanti asat asmat atmadat kama machyutat, and neglected the Supreme Lord who gives himself atmadat. and instead I desire to enjoy with other men. So like that she says. Now from the 35th and 36th verse, these two verses, she focuses on serving the Lord. So now so far she, see 30th to 34th verse, she spoke about repentance. Now she is focusing on serving the Lord. Suhrut
Preshtatamo Nata Atma Chayam Sharirinam Tam Vikri Atma Naivaham Ramene Nayatarama.
So, Bhagavan Samasta Jivon ke liye nitanta priye hai, kyunki ve harek ke shubhechu tatha swami hai, ve harek ke hriday mein sthit parmatma hai, atev main purna sharanagati ka moolya chukakar tatha Bhagavan ko mol lekar unke saath usi tarah raman karungi.
So here 35th verse she says that I will surrender and enjoy only with the Supreme Lord. And then the 36th verse she says that how much pleasure can the mundane lovers give? Suhrut Preshtatamo. Preshtatamo means the Supreme Lord is most dear. He is a well-wisher. Atma Chayam Sharirinam. That because he is everyone's well-wisher and the soul situated Atma Chayam in everyone's heart, Sharirinam. And so therefore, Tam Vikri Atmanai Vagam, I will purchase the Supreme Lord. By what? By my complete surrender. Tam Vikriya means purchasing. Atmanai Vagam, by my complete surrender. And then she gives an analogy. I will enjoy with the Supreme Lord, Rame Anena Yata Rama, just like the goddess of fortune enjoys with him. So if you see here that she is saying that I will purchase the Supreme Lord by my surrender to the Lord. So bhakti is a path in which she is not completely rejecting the body, she is saying that I will engage the body to surrender to the Lord. And in that way I will conquer the Lord. So bhakti is a path in which we use the body and the bodily talents in the service of the Lord. So bhakti is not a path of rejecting things. She is actually condemning her profession, but she is saying, I will use the body to surrender to the Lord. In that way, bhakti is a path of not of rejection. In the path of bhakti, one can use even the act of procreation in the service of the Lord. It's a path of utilizing, not simply rejecting everything. So different, everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. So, and when she is saying that I will purchase the Lord, her usage of monetary language harkens back to her earlier hope of purchasing lovers by selling her body. Earlier she was thinking that I will purchase different lovers by selling my body. And so in the same way she is saying that I will purchase the Supreme Lord by my surrender. And it also tells the inclusiveness of bhakti in which we don't have to renounce the body, we have to actually utilize whatever possessions we have in the service of the Lord. So this talks about the inclusiveness of the path of bhakti. And one may say, how do the prostitutes know the principle of surrender? Because in the Vedic culture, even the illiterate people will know these principles. Because there is some education of satsang or some drama or something like that. So when there is an impetus, they apply that knowledge. The modern culture, even the literate people, they are not aware of this. So, and another lesson which we can learn from this is that she is saying that I will enjoy with the Supreme Lord like the Lakshmi Devi. Like Lakshmi Devi. So, in one sense, she is like imagining herself. So, but we can take the lesson as devotees sometimes, in order to actually give up our material imagination, we need to have some spiritual imagination. In order to give up our material imagination, because imagination is essentially a faculty of the soul. we need to have some imagination. In order to give up the material imagination, we have to have some spiritual imagination. Just like we cannot give up desires, we cannot give up imagination. Like Prabhupada said in that, when he was standing in the Leelamrita, met that conductor, he said, there are thousands of devotees and hundreds of temples and just time is separating. Of course, we can see from one point of view that Prabhupada knew all those things, but from another point of view, Prabhupada was imagining success. So we have to have that spiritual imagination. So that is, like, we should actually try to visualize successes in our services. Like, another classic example is Akrura. Akrura, when he was coming to Vrindavan, he was imagining, oh, when I reach Vrindavan, Krishna and Balram would receive me like this, they would embrace me like this, and they would talk to me like that. I was imagining like that. So, in that sense, somehow or other, we have to actually remember Krishna. We have to fix the mind on Krishna. Of course, we have to be careful of imagining ourselves to be Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj. That is actually Mayavad. But in the beginning, like, even before Anya Bilashada Shunyam, the first comes Yena Kena Prakarena. Anya Bilashada Shunyam is like, one should not have any desire apart from the desire to please Krishna. But in the beginning, we have to somehow or other fix our mind on Krishna. Yena Kena Prakarena Mana Krishna Nishabaya. So somehow or other, just even imagine about some. And then later one has to come to the point of Anyabhilasa Shunyam also. So nice article Chaitanya Charan drew us, like some question answer he had mentioned. Like, what about watching some non-devotees, the serials of Krishna, Mahabharata made by non-devotees? We mentioned this point that how, yeah, it is true that non-devotees, they are making these serials. Ideally, there are two principles, as I mentioned, that one has to hear Krishna Katha only from the mouth of the devotees. If you hear from non-devotees, it is like a milk touched with a poison. That is the ideal, this one. But still, at a certain level, at the beginning level, if a person can at least, by watching these non-devotee, the serials made by these non-devotees, at least he will avoid watching some Bollywood movies. At least it's a beginning. You can just go and check whether the today GFS, SFS is there. Otherwise, if it is there, I will end immediately. Otherwise, I just want to quickly go through this chapter. Otherwise, so in the beginning, somehow or other, we have to fix the mind on Krishna, even if it means that, okay, at least a person is watching Mahabharata, even though it is made by non-devotee. But when a person goes higher, that it can be even, one has to focus on hearing Krishna Katha only from the devotee. In that sense, some, even by imagining, huh?
Class for GCL paper chicken, 1 to 3, from 1 to 3.
Achcha, achcha. I can just ask them whether 10 minutes we can. So initially, that at least if we can, even somehow or other we can remember, we can try to imagine Krishna. Otherwise, later at a certain point, we have to upgrade ourselves to come to the point of Anyabhilasa Shunyam. This one, in this sense, we have to somehow or other imagine success. So she is imagining herself, I will enjoy with Krishna like the Lakshmi Devi. I will purchase him by my self-surrender. So next verse. Kriyat priyam te vyabhajan kama ye kama danara adyantavanto varyaya devava kala vidruta.
Men provide self gratification for women, but all these men and even the demigods in the heaven have a beginning and an end. They are all temporary creations who will be dragged away by time. Therefore, how much actual pleasure or happiness could any of them ever be to their minds?
So she is saying that she is if there is some attraction which is remaining in her heart for some worldly lovers, she is rejecting all the worldly lovers, by asking rhetorically, even the best of the worldly lovers like demigods are temporary, ultimately what pleasure can they offer to their wives? So the Vishnu Chakravartakur says that thus in this world and the next world, no one except the Supreme Lord should be served. So maybe one may be thinking, okay, I will reject these worldly lovers, maybe I can accept the worldly lovers of the demigods. She is saying even the demigods, they are also destroyed by time. What pleasure even they can offer to their wives? So like that is she is thinking. Now in the 37th to 40th verse, she is seeing the adverse material adversity as a great fortune. The 37th verse, she is actually saying that the detachment which she has developed is due to Krishna's mercy.
Noonam me bhagavan preeto vishnu kenapi karmana nirvedo yam durashaya yanme jatasukavagaha.
Although I most stubbornly hope to enjoy the material world, somehow or other detachment has arisen in my heart and it is making me very happy. Therefore the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu must be pleased with me. Without even knowing it, I must have performed some activity satisfying to him.
So she is saying that I must have performed some Agyanta Sukriti, some devotional service, therefore the Lord must have been pleased. So because of that, this detachment has arisen in my heart and it is making me happy, sukha vahaha. So Vishnu Chakravartakur says that having addressed Dattatreya in this way, discerning this way, she glorifies her good fortune. O best of detached persons, today make my yard successful by your mercy. Come here and rest, eat and drink. In this way, having addressed Dattatreya, who had arrived on his own, she began to clean and decorate the place at night. This is the explanation of some authorities. Well, this, the essential point is that she is feeling that I must have performed some Agyanta Sukriti, therefore the Lord must have been pleased. So therefore, I have developed this detachment in my this one. So she is in one, in that sense, she is actually giving credit to the Lord. She is giving credit to the Lord. So 38th verse.
Maivam syur manda bhagyaya klesha nirveda hetavaha yenanu bandham nirkritya purusha shamam ruchyati.
A person who has developed detachment can give up the bondage of material society, friendship and love. And a person who undergoes great sufferings gradually becomes, out of hopelessness, detached and indifference to the material world. Thus, due to my great suffering, such detachment awoke in my heart, and yet how could I have undergone such merciful suffering if I were actually unfortunate? Therefore, I am in fact fortunate and have received the mercy of the Lord. He must somehow or the other be pleased with me.
So she says the suffering of an unfortunate woman, Manda Bhagyaya, could not be the cause of detachment. Klesha nirvidha hetavah. Many people, they also get frustrated, but they don't develop detachment because they are not fortunate. But yena anubandham nirhritya, by the suffering of an unfortunate woman could not be the cause of detachment, by which a person gives up bondage and attains peace. By which a person anubandham nirhritya, and then he attains shamam richati, he attains peace. So many people, they get frustrated, but when a person gets frustrated, in the mode of ignorance, a person takes to intoxication and violence. Suppose a man is after a girl or something, and the girl rejects him, then he wants to put some acid on the face of the girl. If I can't enjoy, nobody should enjoy. The person resorts to like violence or intoxication. That is in the mode of ignorance. And in the mode of passion, when a person gets frustrated, it results in greater attachment. He is frustrated, he is not able to attain that, but he feels, he is still determined, oh, still I will not give up, I will try even more. And the people glorify as actually positive attitude, how positive he is. That is in the mode of passion, it leads to greater attachment. And in the mode of goodness, a person develops detachment. But in the transcendental platform, when a person gets frustrated, he not only simply develops detachment, he actually turns to Krishna. He turns to Krishna. So here prostitute, the Pingala, not only she loves detachment, but she is actually turning to Krishna. So like that. So I think I'll stop here. We will continue. Others will be waiting for us. So just few verses are there. We will complete the next week and we'll take it. Rantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shri Prabhupada ki Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. So, these are the papers. SFS was it? Gita, GCL. The boys. Anand Chaitanya or Mataji sir. So we'll, I think, vacate immediately because they have to.
Please, please email us questions, because without questions it is very difficult. Please.
You can just read the translation per word. It's very simple question. Anyway,
is it an open book with a referring book can we write? Then
Thank you.